There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. You are continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. Kicking off the second hour, it is Chris Temple and myself chatting. Recently, anyone who has been listening to our daily editorials knows that you are preaching this new stagflation light mentality. Now, everybody knows that stagflation, or I assume many people know that stagflation is essentially a situation where the inflation rate is high, economic growth is slow, and unemployment is usually quite high. We've seen this last back in the 70s. Why is it this time, Chris, that you're using the term stagflation light and not just stagflation?
Well, Corey, there's a lot of reasons. People that follow my website and keep up with me or are on my mailing list, I've been explaining the different aspects of this and will continue to do so. But the term stagflation was first coined in the 1970s when we had a slowing economy, nevertheless, rising consumer prices at the very same time. The conventional thinking in economics is that if you have rising prices, that is supposed to be accompanied by decent economic growth. And it was not back then for a variety of reasons. We eventually had, along with the stagnating economy for most of the 1970s and into the early 1980s, we had double-digit consumer price inflation that was eventually followed by double-digit interest rates that ultimately knocked that inflation and commodity prices and things like that back down once Paul Volcker had control of things at the Federal Reserve. So what I'm saying today, Corey, is that there are going to be some very similar patterns to what we had in the 70s. First of all, we will see stocks, generally speaking, fail to keep up with the cost of living. Now, we're not going to have double-digit price inflation anywhere in the developed world anytime soon. First of all, because there's too much debt, there's not going to be that much economic growth. Therefore, there will be slack demand. That'll keep some pressure on prices. And secondly, as we all know these days, if you follow guys like John Williams at Shadow Stats and elsewhere, the government cooks the numbers. I mean, the average American probably has a household inflation rate of anywhere from 5 to 10%. They tell us it's 1% or 1.5% because they cook the numbers. So we're not going to have that double-digit inflation. We're certainly not going to have double-digit interest rates, even though I think there's some near-term danger right now of long-term rates moving higher than they already have, at least for a while. Notwithstanding that, the bond market vigilante is all but an extinct species. That'll be the biggest difference between the present day and the 1970s, is that the Federal Reserve will absolutely not allow the market to work and will not allow treasuries to be sold off in that kind of a fashion. They'll keep a lid on that. The other big difference I should point out too, however, which is critical for people to understand these days, Corey, is that back in the 70s, it was pretty much the U.S. that was the only big actor in the world stage that was having a complete fiat currency system, debauching its currency and whatnot. Today, it's every developed nation and region of the world that's doing it, some of them faster than others.
Start off by dissecting each of these parts. Inflation, you already touched on it, but I want to dive a little bit more into it because the area, I think, of the world that we're going down in the markets, at least, is steadily increasing markets, which has been seen by consistent new highs being reached in the conventional markets. But then we're also seeing, well, you can't say inflation in commodities right now. So how do these two relate to each other when we're talking about this stagflation environment?
Well, first of all, Corey, like Milton Friedman once said, inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon. It starts with the central banks these days. And where a lot of people get confused is they fail to understand that monetary inflation and the expansion of the monetary base, the expansion of debt, is going to end up somewhere. And at various times, it ends up disproportionately in financial assets, which is what we've seen in the recent past, in stock and bond valuations. Later, it moves more toward the commodities area, and those inflate. That was what we had in the 70s, and that is what is coming now. It's not going to happen next week. It's not going to happen next month. But one of the patterns that will be repeated, in my view, similarly to the 1970s, is that investors, by process of elimination, are going to have to go back to some extent to the commodities area. And it's not going to be simple. It's not going to be across the board. But generally speaking, when you look at the landscape of choices out there, number one, do you buy sovereign debt, where there's already been a 30-plus year bull market, and there probably isn't a whole lot of room, at least in the near term, for any more price appreciation? Do you buy the broad stock market when you've got as much pressure as you do on earnings and revenues? Or do you look at beaten up commodities where, if nothing else, let's say in the case of food, I don't care what the central banks do, there's still 7 billion mouths on this planet that need to eat. And so money managers are going to look at that. They're going to look at energy. They're going to look at consumable commodities first and foremost. The other ones, industrial metals and so forth later, as areas as they did in the 70s that are about the only place you're going to maintain your purchasing power over time. That's where I think that we're headed. But the definition itself of inflation is something that the average person does not understand. It's why we have certain people out there saying, well, gold's going to $5,000 because the central banks are printing all this money. It's why we have another camp out there saying that gold's going to $400 and the Dow is going back to 3,000 because we're going to have a huge deflation come. The problem with both of those camps is they have these preconceived notions and really don't understand the world in which we live, and how these things work today, and how this new stagflation will have some of the same patterns, but at the same time, a couple of key differences between today and the 70s.
Chris, when you look at the unemployment rate in the U.S. on paper, and the numbers that we're being fed have been coming down, what kind of relationship do you put within unemployment and then also wage growth, which has been very weak for the last number of years?
Well, see, one of the ways in which this is going to be for the average consumer, Corey, a stagflation equally as bad on the bottom line of the household as it was in the 1970s, is that at least in the 70s you had back then an element that was called wage push inflation. Workers were better able in those days. There was a higher membership in unions. There was a better social environment between employees and employers. And back then, by and large, you were at least able to keep up with most of the price increases by being able to negotiate and get raises from your employer. Today, we don't have that. It means little to the economic health of this country to have a headline unemployment rate approaching 5% when a higher percentage of the employed than ever are working simply to live hand to mouth. You don't have wage push inflation today. That is one of the things that the Fed, appropriately so, has made a big deal about, especially Mrs. Yellen is one of the reasons why she still has some trepidation over raising interest rates, is that we don't see the average American's wages keeping up with even the more nominal increases in consumer prices. So to me, the 5% or 5.4% unemployment rate is not indicative of a healthy economy. It's not indicative of inflation. It's indicative of the fact that corporations and employers, by and large, have become very good at being able to squeeze wages enough to where they can hire more people but pay them less.
Chatting with you on a daily basis and reading over all your missives from the National Investor, which I highly recommend people checking out, you have really gotten me understanding and believing that this stagflation environment that we seem to be heading towards is very much right around the corner, even upon us right now. And it makes investing not as straightforward as some people would like, but there are still opportunities out there.
little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
For health and vitality for you, your family, and friends, get the Healthy Start Pack from Youngevity, as recommended by registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs.
If you're a junk food junkie, getting on the Healthy Start Pack is one of the best ways to wean yourself off of processed snack foods and start putting good nutrition in your body. If you have a loved one who's dealing with heart disease or any health challenge, the Healthy Start Pack makes a great gift. If you have a grandparent or a parent in a nursing home, you will be amazed at the difference a once-a-day dose of the Healthy Start Pack will make in your loved one's energy levels, in their memory, in their mood, and in their general outlook on life.
Give the gift of optimal health to your loved ones and order the Healthy Start Pack from Youngevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. You are continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. We have a bit of a company update for you right now. I am joined by Chuck Provini, President and CEO of NatCore Technology. In full disclosure, NatCore is a sponsor on our website, kereport.com. As well as Doc, Al, and myself are all shareholders in NatCore. Chuck, NatCore is involved, for anyone who does not know, in making solar cells and solar panels more efficient. Before we dive into some recent updates on the company, I want to talk a little bit about the solar industry. We all know a couple of years ago, even when solar first really came into the mainstream, people were really concerned about costs and bringing costs down. But if anyone has looked into recent cost reductions in solar panels and just solar production overall, the costs have come down. So now there has been a change from cost reduction, because you can only get costs so cheap, to efficiency of these solar cells and solar panels. Can you explain a little bit about this transition for us, please, Chuck?
Sure, Corey. It started basically when China stopped subsidizing the solar industry. They were subsidizing it dramatically. If someone would cost $250 to make a solar panel, the Chinese government would give their manufacturer a $150 rebate. And as a result of that, the technology that was being used was old technology. And when they stopped subsidizing it, then the industry started looking to saying, well, how do we differentiate from where we were to where we are? So the industry now is no longer interested in reducing costs, although you always want to reduce costs as best you can. But the biggest focus right now is on increasing efficiencies. The average solar cell that goes into your average panel that goes on someone's roof probably has efficiency somewhere around 16 to 18%. And that is totally inadequate. The industry now is looking for cells with certain technologies that we're at the leading edge of that will have efficiencies around the 25% level.
Now, Chuck, how do companies improve these efficiencies of the solar cells? Does it go along with the production capabilities, or is it installation as well?
Certainly, it's a little bit of everything, but what I'm talking about is pure technology. For instance, one of the things we're doing is we're taking HIT cells, which are heterojunction cells that currently hold the highest efficiency records of anyone, but they're very expensive to make. So what we're doing is we're taking that technology and using lasers to do two things. One, to put the contacts on the bottom of the cell, therefore leaving much more surface area, because if you look at a solar cell, you see all those stripes. Well, those stripes are the contacts, and we're putting them on the bottom so you increase the surface area 4 to 6%. The second thing is by using lasers, we are not taking the silicon wafer and putting it into these very intense heat furnaces. Because as soon as you put a wafer, a silicon wafer, into the furnace, which is how they're manufactured now, solar cells, you damage it, and you immediately eliminate some type of upper level efficiencies. So by eliminating those high temperature furnaces and using lasers just to very specifically put the heat in only certain spots, we don't damage that cell and give it the opportunity to be all it can be when it grows up.
Chuck, it has to be difficult for a company such as NatCore to do all of this on their own. Who are some of the people that you're working alongside that are helping and really embracing this technology?
We work with a handful of very high-end laboratories and companies. Fraunhofer is one in Germany, which is perhaps the best-known think tank for solar and in the world. We work with universities, Rice University, Arizona State. We also are working now with a Eurotron, which is a company that makes very unique solar panel equipment, not solar cells, but solar panel. And their technology is particularly interesting to us and ours to them, because there's something called cell-to-module loss. You take a very sophisticated solar cell and you, in essence, put it in a glass box, a solar panel, and you lose a lot of the efficiency because of heat, because of junctions and all kinds of things. So normally that's about a 10% efficiency loss or energy loss from the solar cell to the panel. Eurotron's technology has zero cell-to-module loss. In fact, there's a gain. It is unique to this backside contact product that we're developing. So what they're doing is they're giving us the specifications, and we're building a back contact solar cell using our laser technology to have them put it into their unique panels to create a dummy sample panel that we will be able to test. And then we're leveraging their knowledge of the industry with this particular solar cell product to make something that's truly special.
So two quick questions here, Chuck. One, it sounds like the relationship with Eurotron is putting Natcor's technology at the very start of the production line for potential future solar panel production. And also, do you have any timelines or time frames that you can provide with us when you think this first almost test panel will be able to be tested?
I think we're in the process now of taking the four or five different component parts that increase efficiency and improving on each one of them. We wanted to make sure that we had somewhat of a finished product to send to them to put our best foot forward, so to speak. I would think we'll be sending them the first cells somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks from now.
That's an exciting time frame then, there, Chuck.
It's incredible.
Can you give us a little background on where the company sits financially right now and kind of what you're looking at cost-wise to get these cells over there and get this panel tested?
We just did a small raise. We have a relatively low burn rate, around $200,000 a month. We just raised a little over $1 million. We have, you know, so we're not bad cash wise. Again, what we do is we outsource a lot of the more expensive products, so we're not buying expensive equipment and very high end manufacturing things. So I think we're in pretty good shape. Like any other small company, you know, you're always looking for, you know, new investors, and you're always looking for institutions to take a look at us, but we're okay right now, and we're excited that we're going to be delivering these very high efficiency cells at the same or less cost than what the traditional cells are today.
Well, I want to encourage everybody to go out there, check out Natcor Technology, NXT, on the Venture Exchange. It's a company, as I mentioned, that Al, Doc, and myself continue to hold shares in. It's a company also that I think is an interesting and unique play in the solar industry. The solar industry is definitely a growing market in the general energy spectrum. We've seen the volatility in oil, and then we've also seen the slow but actually slightly quicker embrace of solar energy around the world. It's really a worldwide industry that I think will continue to get picked up as we move forward towards somewhat cleaner and greener technology. Chuck, always appreciate your time. Everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Thank you, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Are you suffering from EP? The symptoms include fraudulent charges to your credit card. Your subway card says it's empty, but you bought it yesterday. Someone's been in your hotel room, but the desk clerk says they only show you entering the room. These are signs of EP, electronic pickpocketing. Payment cards, transit cards, even hotel room keys use a radio chip, so you can just wave your card at the register, the turnstile, or your hotel room door. But what's convenient for you is also convenient for thieves, waving scanners to electronically pickpocket you without even touching you. The good news is there's a cure. ID Stronghold has created leather wallets and clutches that have built-in EP protection. Layers of shielding material cleverly concealed in a beautiful leather wallet that stops the symptoms of EP. Go to IDStronghold.com now and get the cure. IDStronghold.com. Warning, ID Stronghold wallets could lead to feelings of safety and security, comfort in crowds, and euphoria. If you experience these emotions, immediately inform your friends and family about IDStronghold.com so they can feel better too.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Want to listen to your favorite GCN hosts and programs without a radio signal or internet? Just call 605-562-4213. Get instant access to all GCN live feeds right on your phone, anywhere you want, anytime you want. 605-562-4213. It's our way of ensuring everyone has the opportunity to enjoy GCN. 605-562-4213. The future of talk radio. GCN.
It's Katie Armour's 15% off sale now through Memorial Day. All Katie Armour is now 15% off. Katie's all-new Level 4 body armor is made in the USA and can withstand the toughest of rifle rounds. Why would you buy anything else? That's Katie Armour's 15% off sale now through Memorial Day. Get your Level 4 body armor while you still can. Go to katiearmour.com. That's CATIArmour.com. Come and take it.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. We're going to wrap up the show for the next two segments talking a bit about politics. Right now, joined again by Chris Temple. Chris and I were chatting throughout this week about some of the political issues going on. And one issue that we touched on last week and that I think will be on many people's radars when they are looking at U.S. politics throughout summer is this fast-track trade bill that continues to get tossed around. We are now hearing from some of the advocates of this bill that they're saying it should pass in Congress, and it is getting some support from top Republicans, as well as, of course, Obama. People, the politicians, seem to be on board with the way this fast-track bill is moving forward. Chris, you want to take us through a little bit about this fast-track bill and your opinion or your thoughts on what troubles it could cause?
Well, first of all, Corey, I listened with a little bit of amusement and a little bit of anger to the Labor Secretary several days ago for President Obama, giving an interview and saying, look, we can't tie the president's hands. He has to be able to keep us competitive. We can't let China be dictating the terms of global trade. We've got to be in there and having a presence, and on and on and on. And the summation of his argument was, after all, it's been a generation or something like that when we've had Americans' wages stagnating, and we need to do something about it. Well, I got news for Mr. Perez, and he knows this. He's a liar, like most of them are. The reason why Americans' wages have been stagnating for a generation is precisely because we bought all of their nonsense in the past. The same banks, the same global corporations that pull Perez's strings, his boss Obama's strings, most of the Republican strings, thankfully not as many Democrat strings, are the global corporations and banks who have no patriotism. They don't care about sovereignty. The whole globe is their playground. The whole globe is their plantation. And they want all of us on the face of the earth to be their serfs, their slaves, to be able to find these different ways through these trade deals to a great extent to compress wages, make higher wage people in Europe, in America particularly, in Canada, compete with people in Singapore and in Thailand and Vietnam and sub-Saharan Africa where new factories are being built. And I have nothing against those people, but why can't we for a change see that they're better off as a result of these things rather than more so U.S. workers being worse off? Giving the president what is called fast track, and of course they call it trade promotion authority. That sounds less shady, you know, like they're not trying to slip something by. You're in favor of promoting trade is the story. You know, and we've got these, the Wall Street Journal and the Business Roundtable and other ones out there browbeating people with the same propaganda offensive I was involved in an identical fight over these same kind of things back in 1997. When the House came back from its summer recess, the Senate was going to give then-President Clinton fast-track authority, and the House ended up not voting for it because it wouldn't have passed had they held the vote. And that's where the fight is right now. The Senate will probably give Obama fast-track authority when all is said and done, but even that's a bit of a tussle. The House is up in the air right now.
The more I read into what this really entails, is it seems like this is a big benefit for the big corporations. It seems like they are able, if this goes through, to keep some of these trade agreements almost private from the public until it's too late. We have the inclination to assume that these bills will really just favor the big corporations and not help so much the man on the street, at least domestically.
That's always the way it works. And to their credit, Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts and Joe Manchin of West Virginia, two Democrat Party senators, have called out Obama on this last week. They've introduced a bill into the Senate that would require, even if fast-track slash trade promotion authority does become law, the Congress would still have 60 days to examine every element. There could be no redacted elements, no glossed over ones, no bracketed ones. The Congress would have 60 days from the time in which the president wants to get authority to implement some new trade treaty under fast track. They'd be able to look at it. Now, look, after all, we were told by this president, and I hate to just pile on him because it's been all of them going back for a while that have the same agenda, whether they have a D or an R after their name. They're all owned by the same big businesses and big corporations. We were told with Obamacare, don't worry about what's in it. It's too big. It's too complicated. Just vote for it. We'll worry about it later. And a lot of people realize that that was a mistake. And we don't want to repeat the same mistake again, say Senators Warren and Manchin. And so that's why they want to really call out the president on this and show what's in this Trans-Pacific Partnership deal. And the one that's not getting near as much press but has resulted in huge demonstrations in Europe is almost an identical new trade treaty called the TTIP that would involve more of the U.S. and European trade. And in both cases, Corey, there are these insidious parts of these treaties that when all is said and done, give a global corporation a bigger ability to sway local policy, even in small-town America. They will have more rights than you do out there, folks, if you're an American citizen. If, for example, and going back to the similar fight we had in 1997, and when we proved that something back then called the Multilateral Agreement on Investment was what was on the shelf that would have been slipped in under fast track, that's what got some of us to swing enough votes in the House to where Gingrich didn't even bother bringing this up for a vote knowing it would lose, which indeed in 98 when they voted on fast track did lose by 70 votes. But what we showed back then, and I'm just going to use this one as an example. Let's say that you are in Peoria, Illinois, you know, small city America, and you decide that for the health of your students in your school system for the betterment and prosperity of your local farmers and believing in the local farm-to-table kind of movement, you decide that without opening it up to bidding or anything, you're going to deal with and contract with local farmers to provide the food for your, at least some of your local school lunch program. If a Cargill, a Monsanto, a big retailer that wasn't allowed to have any input or bid on that with their genetically engineered food got sore, under these treaties, they can take Peoria to court, and not in the courtroom in Peoria with the local judge, in front of a new kind of court that will be created under these treaties, where the judges will be essentially handpicked by these corporations. And so this is what people want the light of day shed on. If you think this is such a damn good deal, President Obama and Senator McConnell, why can't we read these things? Why don't you want to give the American people and what's left of the middle class, thanks to you people doing this to us for the last 40 years, why don't you want us to see these things?
Well, and Chris, if that is true, what you're saying, where these big corporations could go after Peoria, for example, then it does sound like we're just going into a more government-centric, government oversight type of system that I feel like we should be trying to get away from just because of the issues that the government has gotten us into. But unfortunately, it sounds like they would have even more power and put even more power back in the hands of the big corporations. Any foreign policy that seems to have come out of Obama's term hasn't exactly been good and has stirred a lot of pots the wrong way. And I think that's an issue that people do need to be aware of. This, I don't think, will be coming in front of the House or the Senate right away, because as we cover next segment with Glenn Downs, the Patriot Act is on the radar because that is expiring this month. So I think this will be a discussion that we will be continuing to have over the summer.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
The human body is extraordinary, despite all the stress we inflict upon it. Thousands of people across the country use an extremely effective product to help their body stay balanced. It's Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural herbal formula designed to help maintain healthy blood pressure, clean arteries, promote good circulation, and balance cholesterol. Heart and Body Extract, along with good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free from pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of Heart and Body Extract. Learn more and read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers at heartandbody.com. Heart and Body Extract offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. For free info, call 866-295-5305 now. That's 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com. Distributor inquiries welcome. 866-295-5305.
In an unpredictable world, it's good to know you are in control of food, your greatest dependency. Go Foods are storable for 25 years, quick fix, non-GMO, kosher, health store quality food at discount store prices delivered to your door. Go Foods is there when you need it most. Feed Your Frida package is available with up to 3 months of food for free. Call GoFoods at 1-800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Coilin Economics Report, Glenn Downs is joining us, Chief of Staff for Congressman Walter Jones. Glenn is essentially our Washington insider, and that's why he is our go-to for a lot of the political news that is coming right around the corner. And one of the, I'd say, the most important political, I guess, news that is coming up by the end of this month is the expiring of the Patriot Act. This will happen at the end of May. And Glenn, there must be some rumors going on around the White House right now and around Congress as to what is going to happen with this act. I know that there are some people that want it simply extended, and then there are also some people that want it absolutely thrown out. Can you provide some insight for us there?
Well, a little bit. Thanks for having me back again, Corey. You know, and you're right, there are a series of pieces of legislation that are expiring and need to be re-upped or replaced or let expire or whatever. And so, and I imagine we're going to see more and more of this as we get deeper into this crisis as it unfolds, as we get into the fall of this year and then really for years to come. And one of the first things up on deck is the Patriot Act. And you might recall that a federal appeals court recently struck down as being illegal, extra legal, beyond the scope of the law, a lot of the metadata collection and cell phone collection, data conversation and other collection being done by the NSA of people under the USA Patriot Act. And so that Patriot Act is expiring, and there was a compromise that was worked out in the House that, you know, now those of us who are a little more civil libertarian oriented aren't particularly fond of the compromise, but the compromise they got called the USA Freedom Act, I think is the name. They pick these euphemistic names. The Patriot Act, which wasn't all that patriotic, and the Freedom Act, which isn't all that free, but that's the way Washington, D.C. rolls. But this piece of legislation was a compromise was reached between Republican leadership and most of the Democratic leadership and some of the people that are a little more civil libertarian-minded amongst Republicans and Democrats. So it didn't completely expire, but it does extend it, and it does it with regard to the outcome of that court case I just referenced and other concerns. And it passed sort of overwhelmingly. Once that was decided upon, the train started rolling. Well, the problem is in the Senate, and most particularly the leadership of the Senate, Mr. Mitch McConnell, Senator Richard Burr from my state of North Carolina, who's the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. You have the John McCain's and Lindsey Graham's of the world that are kind of pretty regular characters on that side of things. that not only don't want the Patriot Act modified in the form of this USA Freedom Act, but they want it extended, court case notwithstanding, just as it is. They don't want any changes. So they're digging in their heels. Well, the House will be in session here through the end of, as we're talking now, it's the House was really just coming, the work week that we're ending now is the end of the House session here before a one-week district work period. So the House is leaving town, but the Senate will be in session, and they are threatening to, in the week to come here, the final week of this month, to do something to try to extend the Patriot Act as it currently exists. Now, on the other side of that, Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon and Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky have joined together and have threatened to filibuster any sort of a straight-up extension of the Patriot Act without some kind of what they consider to be meaningful reforms. So there's going to be a high drama in the final week of this month in the U.S. Senate, as the leadership of the Senate at least tries to play chicken with the House of Representatives and the bill that the House passed. I suspect if the House bill was just brought up for a straight vote in the Senate, the House bill would pass with pretty overwhelming, the modified, somewhat reformed Patriot Act would be passed with overwhelming numbers. But the Senate leadership does not want to bring that up. And that tells you something about their connection to the so-called deep state.
Well, Glenn, first off, you really do have to just love the titles of these acts, because as you said, they really don't have much to do with being a patriot, but boy, do they ever strike home, I would say, to a lot of hardcore Americans that love that word. That being said, if this bill does get filibustered, as a couple congressmen and senators are talking about doing, would that lead to some sort of a delay in this? Could this almost can be kicked down the road, or does there need to be some form of a resolution here, which would, I guess, have to be voted on in one or the other houses?
We're sort of in a post-constitutional America situation right now, where a little constitution or a little statutes between friends don't seem to matter too much around Washington. But yeah, in order for the NSA, the wireless, the warrantless wiretapping, all these sorts of things that they've been doing to continue on, they need some sort of legal authority. Now, there are very credible reports which indicate that way before the Patriot Act was enacted on, the three-letter agencies, and of course in this particular instance, most specifically the National Security Agency, was already collecting cell phone conversations, telephone conversations, along with all the metadata. And the mechanisms that they seem to be using is to swap data with foreign spy services. So it might be that the British, for example, would spy on Americans, the Americans would spy on the British, and then they would swap information one with the other. The two intelligence services, so technically the U.S. wasn't spying on its own citizens, it was just swapping data with the British who were. Things like that. They came up with all kinds of different devices. And there's a lot of very credible evidence this was going on in an extra legal way, or really pushing the farthest bounds of legality. There's no appetite, even amongst the Republican leadership over here, to revisit this issue. I think they've passed this bill, it passed overwhelmingly, and there's no particular reason to be hotboxed like this. And that's why the Senate has taken so long to bring their legislation up. They could have long ago passed the bill, even if it was different than the House bill. You could have gone to conference, and then the conference committee would come up with some sort of a compromise, which would then go back to each House of Congress for a vote, and go through what they call regular order around here. Well, what they, of course, they're trying to do is to get it down to the 0 hour and talk about what a dangerous world it is, and if we just let this thing expire, then America's enemies will be able to plot and scheme using U.S. telecommunication systems and things, and we can't let that happen. So they try to bring it right down to the 0 hour here, but it looks like there's a reasonable chance it won't work, because they seem to have a couple of senators, Rand Paul and Ron Wyden, who are pretty committed to not passing a straight-up extension. And that's where the clock starts to work against the senators that do want to pass a straight-up extension, which, by the way, has been ruled illegal and unconstitutional, but that doesn't seem to matter too much around Washington.
Well, and Glenn, it does sound like there is support there to pass this bill. So then, assuming that it does get passed, who's in charge of making sure that these people and these agencies are following the rules? Because they seem to have not done that in the past, so why would things change? So in the long run, not to be pessimistic, but why would it matter?
Well, that's a good question, and those of us that are a little more civil libertarian-oriented think that if you haven't followed the laws and the rules now, or you've had very, very lax oversight over the people doing these sorts of things, you can pass new laws that are less bad, but they'll still go ahead and do what they're going to do anyway. That's a little negative, I know, but that's not a bad assessment. There are, written into these statutes, there are things like the FISA court, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, I think is what FISA stands for, where you supposedly, you have sort of secret court proceedings, but you have actual confirmed federal judges that rotate in and out of those things that are supposed to approve these kind of secret wiretaps on to make sure that, you know, the Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable search and seizure are followed. There are some procedures that are supposed to be set up, and the new legislation is supposed to nominally at least rein these three-letter agencies more into following more constitutionally accepted standards and practices, but we'll see whether that really happens or not. But first things first, we'll see what happens legislatively, and then we'll see how it is to implement.
Glenn, always appreciate your insights into what is going on politically in this country. Hope everybody enjoyed this week's show.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley. With U.S. Tax Shield, we can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.